join us online as we stream. You can catch any of our services on Facebook, YouTube, or at www.rdci.info. We might not be able to gather in the building, but you can still get to church. Stream on Sundays at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. And ladies, catch Women's Bible Study on Facebook, Fridays at 12 noon. Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast. Today's message is Make Your Way by Bishop Herbert Bailey.
Well, let's go to the Word of God. One of my favorite scriptures is actually one of the, as I thought about this, I said, people are going to say, you're always preaching from that scripture or quoting in some kind of way. And I realized it's one of the theme scriptures for my life. And that is Joshua, the first chapter, starting here at verse, for the sake of time, I'll start at verse 5. I'm sure I will allude to or talk about the other context of the verses around it. But let's start at Joshua 1 and verse 5. And it says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. That 8th verse is where our subject comes from. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Come on, catch eyes with somebody and look at them and say, make your way, make your way, make your way. I didn't tell you get them, you don't have to slap nobody. Just catch eyes with them. Tell them, look at them, make your way. We know the context of this scripture, and even as I read it, some thoughts came to me about Joshua's mindset during this time. Joshua now is Moses' successor. Whose successor? Moses' successor. Talking about some big shoes to fill. Moses' successor. I know many pastors, colleagues of mine, who have been the successor to a great church, a great pastor. Perhaps someone who founded the ministry and did great things and pastored that church for 20, 30, 40, maybe even 50 years. And now some young whippersnapper comes along. And now he has to lead, and people are always potentially comparing the new leader to the old leader. And so Moses, Joshua didn't ask for this. As a matter of fact, now I can't prove this, but you can't prove me wrong. I believe Moses' successor was supposed to be Aaron. Because when God called Moses and Moses started making excuses why he couldn't talk, he said, well, your brother Aaron, how about it? Let's take him along with you. Take Aaron with you. He can speak well, even though we don't see that Aaron ever had to speak for Moses. Because once you say yes to the Lord, he equips you for everything he called you to do. And yet, and then who was left in charge when Moses went to the mountain to get the commandment? It was Aaron. Oh, my goodness. But, and Joshua was merely known as the as Moses' assistant. He was just the one to hold this. Stay here. Watch this. He wasn't even in the presence of God. He was just on the mountain when God talked to Moses. And Aaron was left in charge. But while he was left in charge for just a few days, this was his testing ground for whether he would ever be prepared to really lead these people. And he failed the test. He failed the test, number one, by doing what the people wanted rather than what God wanted. And what God would want is them to just wait on Moses, wait till Moses comes back and give them instruction. And the people said, well, this Moses, we don't know what happened to him. Let's make us another God. And we don't know, though. And so Aaron said, okay, well, that's what y'all want to do. And not only did they make another God that they used their gold, their gold and their jewelry that God later was requiring of them to build the tabernacle. Ah, remember, when he got ready to build the tabernacle, he said, tell the people to bring the garments and bring the jewels. And many of them didn't have it anymore because they spent it on an idol God. And so while they were there building, not only did they build, Aaron gave the instruction and designed the calf. And then when Moses shows up, Moses said, what is this? And Aaron said, well, what happened was the people, they wanted to make this calf and they took off their jewelry, they threw it into the fire, and out came this calf. And he's lying to Moses. And so he proved, or should I say disproved, that he could be a leader. Because number one, the leader has to hear God more than his people. He has to do what God says more than what the people want. He failed the test. And now Joshua, who was just an assistant, he didn't ask for this. Now Moses is dead. And it's not like, y'all, you need to understand. See, sometimes you deal with people's death and you have a mental time to prepare. Okay? Maybe there's been a terminal illness. Maybe there's been a bad doctor's report. Maybe you've seen them getting old and feeble. Maybe you realize, you know, that it won't be long now based upon the circumstance. That wasn't the case with Moses. God gave Moses personal instruction. He didn't give him a terminal illness. He said, come on up here, see this mountain, go up to this mountain, look over where, and come on up here and die. It was an instant thing. It wasn't gradual. He had time to prepare. And all of a sudden, Joshua is in this position. Position he didn't ask for. He wasn't working on. He wasn't saying, oh, after Moses died, boy, I'm going to be it. Yes, sir. I'm going to be the senior pastor right here. I'm going to be the bit. He wasn't asking for this. He wasn't biting at the bits. God says, you're the one. God says, you're next in line. And now, can I tell you, one of the ways that you know, to some degree, that you have the right attitude about whatever God's called you to do, is that there's a feeling of I'm inadequate and I can't do it without him. Some people are too confident to be anointed. Some people got too much going on in their own power to realize I need God's power. Some people are too smart to realize that they need God's wisdom. Such wasn't the case with Joshua. So first God tells him, without us hearing what Joshua was asking God or his state of mind, we know God tells him, you need to be strong. You need to be not only courageous, you need to be very courageous. You need to take courage. You need to do it scared. That's what real courage is. Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is facing your fears and moving forward anyway. Courage is saying, I'm scared, I'm trembling, but if I perish, I perish. I'm going in anyway. And God gives him some reassurance. He says, nobody's going to be able to stand against you. I'm going to back you up. As I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. I'm not going to fail you. I'm not going to forsake you. So I'm telling you, be strong. Be very courageous. You're going to divide the inheritance of the land to the people. You're going to divvy out the land. You're going to give out the lots to the people. And he says again, verse 7, but you got to be strong. Come on, get yourself together here. Got to be strong and very courageous. He said, now remember the law that Moses gave you? Study that. Read that word. Know what I told him and do what I gave him to give to you so that you can read it and know it. And he said, and don't try to come up with your own way. Oh my God. Again, people are too smart today. We think the word doesn't apply to this situation. The word doesn't apply. I've heard people say things. We got to be careful. I've heard people say things like, well, there's not a scripture for that. That God never knew we were going to have. They said, at the time that the scriptures were written, we didn't have this and we didn't have that. So that's not applicable. Are you serious? That's why the Bible says you got to know how to rightly discern the word. And certain things is not by law, it's by principles. The principles for life, the principles for success are in God's word for all of your life. No, you can't find a scripture that says, thou shalt not smoke weed. You cannot find a scripture that says, you shouldn't chew tobacco. But you can find a scripture that says, no, you're not. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Therefore, glorify God in your spirit and your body, which are his. Now, if you don't have enough sense to discern that smoking will damage this body, then you need some more wisdom. Are y'all listening to me? And so we need to know how to take the word and apply it to our lives. And so God is telling him, listen, I know you're going to face things that you think you haven't faced before, but I've already given you my word, and there's a pattern. Ooh, there's a pattern for success in my word. There's a pattern of how to have a successful family in my word. There's a pattern for a successful marriage in my word. There's a pattern for a successful business in my word. There's a pattern for a successful company in my word. He says, so follow the pattern. Verse 7, don't turn from it. Don't come up with your own way. Don't think that doesn't apply anymore. Don't turn to the right hand or to the left. In other words, don't come up with some new ways and new ideas. He said, but observe, but thou mayest prosper whithersoever you go. He said, if you do it my way, you'll prosper. Come on, catch somebody's eyes again. Tell me, if you do it God's way, you'll prosper. Oh, people don't believe that. People don't believe that. You know, I was talking to someone last night and people being real spooky and real spooky. Well, you got these spirits going on and this is happening and that's happening and that's happening. And I said, maybe I ain't as deep as other folks. I said, some of the stuff y'all make so spooky, it ain't that spooky. Okay. Some new prophet to come in and give you a revelation of why this is going wrong. You're not doing it God's way. That's why it's going wrong. Well, I don't know what's going on with my marriage. I just thought the devil, all in my, he's just messing up my mind. No. You won't love your wife like Christ loved the church, and you're not honoring your husband. That's what's wrong with your marriage. I just don't know what's wrong with my children. They said a spirit of rebellion is just taking over my child and possess my child. Oh, no. When they was 11 years old and didn't want to go to church, you told them you could stay home. You were compromising all along the way. And now you wonder why, you know, 17, 18, I just don't understand. Well, no. No, there was something you didn't correct before. Don't y'all get mad at me. You still glad you came to church today, right? Huh? See, if I knew it was going to be this, I would have watched my streaming where I could just turn it off. He said, don't turn from it. Do it my way. And then he says, meditate. Meditate. Somebody was at my house the other day, and they were down in my office, my study at the house. And he said, Bishop, I like that chair there. I said, that's my meditation chair. Sometimes I have one at my study here at the office too here. And I don't get a chance to sit in it as much as I used to years ago. When I had less to do, I meditated more. Truthfully, sometimes we're too busy to meditate. Who's that for? Sometimes we got to stop the business and listen. I'm running here. I'm running around with a chicken. I need to sit down and hear God. You all know I watch tennis. In the semifinals was Serena Williams against Azarenka. And Serena supposedly injured her ankle or Achilles or something. Much love, Serena. Love you. You know I love you, too. You're going to get 25. And so while she was getting a medical timeout, Azarenka, who ended up beating her, sat there with her eyes closed. She refused to be distracted by her opponent. The camera zooms in. There is a bug, a fly, crawling on her nose. But she is sitting there with her eyes closed, saying, I'm not going to be moved by my opponent. I'm not going to be moved by this bug. Are y'all listening to me? Sometimes you got to close your eyes, sit down and meditate and say, I'm not being moved by it, by the enemy, by what I have to do. I got to focus on the fact right now that God will cause me to prosper. God is going to make my way prosperous. God is going to be with me all the way that I go. Sometimes you got to shut everybody out, everybody up, and get along with you and God. You got to meditate on this word. He said day and night. My grandson, DJ Banks, Daniel, I said, the boy got so many names, he's going to be confused. His mother said, he counts in his sleep. He loves to count. He got to answer, his father loved to count. He was always counting. He'll be 2 this week. They say he's sleeping, going 2, 3, 4, 5. He loves to count all the time. He comes, he wants to, when we hold a hand, he used to want a high five, now he wants to count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. Then he runs to his mother, he runs to his father, he wants everybody to count to 20. He comes in, y'all know I got, he comes in my room the other day, and I have a watch case with watches in it. And I see him go, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I said, come. No 9 watches. He looked in there. It was 9 watches in there. He's meditating. Come on now. Every time he's like, I'm going to master this counting thing. I can count watches. I can count hand claps. I can count cars. Come on. And see, when you meditate on something, it gets in you. You get in it, and nobody can take it away from you. It means the word meditate. It literally means to mutter, to say it over and over and over and over and over. And God said to him, I need you to meditate during the day and the night. I need you to start counting being blessed in your sleep. I need you to count your blessing when you lay down at night, when you wake up in the morning. Meditate day and night. He said that you observe to do my word. He said, because if you do, you'll make your way. You'll make your way prosperous. You'll make your way prosperous. I want to remind you that in the midst of social injustice, you can make your way prosperous. In the midst of sexist and all the other kind of isms, you can make your way prosperous. I said to someone the other day who said to me, he said, I'm very concerned of still looking good and dressing a particular way because people will treat you based upon how you're dressed. And my generation especially believed that and was taught that. And so we were always trying to impress everybody all the time. And I said to this person, you know what? I said, no, real freedom is. I said, freedom is when you don't care what they think. Oh, I'm about to have a dance all by myself. Real freedom is I don't care what you think about me. I will be successful with or without you. Right? I will make my way prosperous. And God said, if you do my word, you can make your way. You can make your way. I want, even before prosper, I just want you to see, I just want folks to know those words. Make your way. Make your way. And what really prompted this, Pastor Marcia, I was peeking in on women's Bible study on Friday. And Pastor Marcia said, sometimes you got to wiggle your way. Come on. She said, she mentioned the fact that she got down into a seat. What seat was that? A desk. She said she got in the desk. Where was this desk at? Oh, one of the little kids' desk. Okay, one of the kids at my grandchildren's house. She got down into it because they have a desk and learning station set up at their home. And she got in one of the little kids' desk. She said, I got in, but I couldn't get out. Look at your neighbor and say, God help you out. God help you out. Woo, my God right there. Some of us, we got in some stuff. It was easy to get in. Ain't that easy to get out. See, some of you young people don't understand. It's not that we don't want you to have pleasure and we don't want you to do what you want to do. Sometimes we just realize you can get yourself in some stuff that's real easy, but it ain't that easy to get out. How many of y'all found it's real easy to get in debt? It ain't that easy to get out. Sometimes it's real easy to get into a relationship. It ain't that easy to get out. But she said, I realized I had to wiggle my way, but I got out. Sometimes you got to wiggle your way. But while you're wiggling, what you're doing, you're making your way. And when we talk about making your way, I'm talking about progressing, making movement through life. All I'm going to be able to do is introduce this message today. But you need the long and the short of this message. In a nutshell, my objective is to let you know that you need to know that you don't have to be stuck in whatever you think you're stuck in. You don't have to be stuck in whatever circumstances that you think have you bound. I thought about when I wrote that down, just that statement. I thought about Minister Sean. I thought about Tremaine Hawkins. You don't have to stay in the state that you're in. The potter wants to put you back together again. Oh, the potter wants to put you back together again. Look at your name and say, you don't have to stay stuck. You'd be surprised how many people think that they're stuck. We were talking the other day, I was talking to a single. And who was letting me know that I helped them in understand because, see, let me go back because I'm from a different generation, but y'all still need to get these definitions right. There's two statuses in life regarding marital status. You're either married or single. You're either married or single. So the problem is, and they explained to me that in today's society, in today's culture, that being single has a stigma. Nobody want to be, say I'm single. So you want to be in a relationship, a situationship, or in an entanglement. That was for a few folks who know about that. Okay. But let's deal with that. So you have single people who have gotten entangled with the yoke of bondage. And the Bible said, don't be entangled with the yoke of bondage. And so you have people who are in situations. And I said, there's no stigma associated with being single. I said, ask somebody who's been married for 30, 35 years. And so you ask them their definition of single. They'll tell you, single means freedom. Now, come on, y'all. Me and Pastor Marcy, we agree. So some of y'all look, I don't want my husband to think I won't be free. You know, sometimes down in your spirit, you be saying, give me free. I want free. Or sometimes you say, if I only was free, I wouldn't care what you think. If I only was free, I would go away this weekend. If I was free, I'd spend my doggone money the way I want to spend my money. So you got married, single people. And so here's where I'm going with this. So you have some single people who continue in a relationship because they don't want the stigma of being single. So they stay with a buster or I need a name for the woman too. I ain't gonna call what the B that I'm thinking about. Can't call her that B. You stay with somebody because you don't want to be single.
You need to know that you don't have to be stuck in whatever you think you're stuck in. You can make your way prosperous and have good success. In this series, Bishop Herbert Bailey shows us why and how we can make our way. To order this series, call 877-798-5433 or order online at www.rightdirection.info. Just ask for Make Your Way. As we continue to socially distance, be sure to stay connected with us online. Stream our services on Facebook and YouTube, as well as rdci.info via the Watch Live tab. Sunday morning services are at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. on YouTube, Facebook, and our website. Wednesday Bible study airs at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, Women's Bible study airs at 12 noon via Facebook Live. Consider connecting with us as a partner or an iChurch member. More information about our partnership and iChurch member services can be found on our website at rdci.info. For consistent updates and encouragement, connect with us on social media through Facebook at Right Direction Church International and on Twitter and Instagram at @TheRDCI. Right Direction Ministries, transforming lives and impacting generations.